Okay, thank you, Dr. Kerr, for that introduction. Today I am going to talk to you about a decade's worth of injury surveillance data on the epidemiology of severe injuries among U.S. high school athletes, and this is actually from 2005-06 all the way up through 2014-15. I have no financial relationships to disclose. In the 2013-14 academic year, well over 7 million students participated in sports. And the number is only likely to increase over time. And this is a really good thing, since participation in athletics at the high school level tends to lead to better grades in school, and these athletes receive the benefits of a healthy, active lifestyle. However, sports participation does put students at risk for injury, and severe injuries are of particular importance since there's increased time loss, increased financial and psychological burdens to the student, and also the potential for adverse long-term outcomes which can affect these young athletes for the rest of their lives. Some previous work on severe injuries has focused on sport or diagnosis-specific injuries, or has looked at those presenting to emergency departments. So as far as we know, this is the first study to compare rates and patterns of severe injuries across multiple sports and multiple years using a large sample of U.S. high schools. Our specific aims are to calculate rates of severe injuries overall and by sport, to compare these by gender, and to describe patterns of body parts diagnoses and mechanisms. We conducted a descriptive epidemiology study using high school reporting information online, and I'll refer to that as High School Rio from here on out, which is a data collection tool used in the National High School Sports Related Injury Surveillance Study. And for the current analysis, we analyzed data from 24 different sports collected from high schools across the country in between 2005-06 through 2014-15 academic years. And over this time, the number of high schools reporting to the Rio system has increased from about 100 to 250 last season. And some sports have been added more recently than others as the system expanded to capture a broader range of sports that are representative of what a lot of high schools around the country offer. To enter information into the system, our athletic trainers, or ATs, logged in weekly to report injuries and exposures. A reportable injury to the Rio system happened during a school-sanctioned practice or competition and required medical attention from an AT or a physician, and restricted the athlete's participation for at least a day beyond the date of injury. For the current analysis, we restricted the severe injury definition to include those medical disqualifications by a physician for at least the remainder of the season, a medical disqualification for the athlete's career, or an injury that motivated voluntary withdrawal from their sport despite no medical disqualification. An athlete exposure is defined as one athlete participating in one practice or competition, and all rates are reported in this presentation per 10,000 AE. Overall, 4,824 severe injuries occurred in over 35 million athlete exposures, and this represents 7% of all injuries captured by the Rio system for a rate of 1.41 injuries. The distribution, most severe injuries were medical DQs for the season, followed by voluntary withdrawals, and a small percentage were medical disqualifications for the athlete's career. All right, now there is a lot of information on this slide, but only a couple take-home messages that I want you to remember. And this table shows the rate of severe injuries for all the sports High School Rio has captured over the last decade, and they're organized by descending rates. So football is a standout. It has the highest rate of injury across all sports. Not far behind that, though, is boys wrestling, and then girls gymnastics, girls soccer, and boys lacrosse round out the top five. Sports like tennis and swimming and diving are on the bottom, although tennis, we only started collecting data for last year, and then boys volleyball, those sports round out the bottom five. So the take-home message is that sport varies widely by, or rates vary widely by sport, and I want you to take a minute and find your favorite sport here and see where it ranks. And while you're looking for your favorite sport, I want to mention that 14 out of the 24 sports, so many but not all, had higher rates of injury in the competition setting compared to the practice setting. And you can ask me about more about that later if you like. So if we turn our attention to gender differences, including all sports, we see that boys have a higher rate of injury than girls. And you can see boys are in the blue bars and girls are represented in the gold bars. But when we look at gender comparable sports only, and these sports include soccer, basketball, baseball, softball, track and field, cross country, swimming and diving, and tennis, these are sports that both boys and girls participate in and have comparable rules, we see that girls have a higher injury rate than boys. The most common injuries by far that were reported to the system are to the knee, head, face, and shoulder, and these are caused by ligament sprains, fractures, and concussions. When we break our injury diagnoses down by gender within gender comparable sports, we see that girls had higher rates of knee injuries, ligament sprains, and concussions, but boys sustained a higher proportion of shoulder injuries and fractures. So when we look at how these injuries happen and the need for surgery, there are two messages that I want to get across to you on this slide. The first is that contact with another player is responsible for almost half the injuries that we see. And the second, that you may not be all that surprised to learn, is that if you have a severe injury, it may need surgery. Over about 40% of our injuries required surgery overall. But I want to mention that only 6.5 of our voluntary withdrawal categories required surgery. When we look at severe injury rates over time, the overall rate has declined since 2005-2006. And this is driven by a decline in the rate of medical DQs for the season. The rates of career DQs, which is the gray line at the very bottom, and voluntary withdrawals, which is the gold line just above that, have not changed. However, when we pull out rates of concussion only, there are no linear trends for medical DQs for the season, but you can see in the black line that the rates fluctuate pretty drastically over time. We also see that medical DQs for the career, in the gray line at the bottom again, have increased slightly but significantly over time. And most interestingly, we see that more and more athletes are withdrawing from their sport despite no medical directive to do so. And that trend is significant and represented in the gold line. So what does it all mean? Well, there is still a lot of room for injury intervention and prevention. In terms of sport, the rate of severe injury varied greatly across sport, but football and wrestling were at the top. Football continues to be a wildly popular sport in the U.S., and it accounted for a disproportionate amount of concussions and shoulder injuries within our data. And since these sports had the highest injury rates, efforts by coaches and AT to lessen or prevent these injuries is crucial. When we looked at gender differences in our directly gender-comparable sports, we saw that girls had higher rates than boys and also injured different structures. And these gender disparities may be due to differences in the size, speed, or strength of the athlete, or maybe the intensity of play. The difference in proportion of concussions could be due to physiological differences that makes girls more susceptible to concussions, or it could be due to gender differences in reporting. There have been studies that have shown that girls are more likely to report a concussion once they've sustained one. So preventative measures are crucial, and these could include special conditioning programs, bracing, rehabilitation, and especially education. And they should all be evaluated in future studies to determine their effectiveness for prevention. And it's clear that when we do create these, that gender needs to be taken into account. And finally, I want to draw your attention back to the graph that showed the rate of voluntary withdrawals increasing over time, and that gold line again. Now, with proper diagnosis, management, and care, athletes should be able to make a full recovery and return to play after they sustain a concussion. So what could explain the increase? It could be explained by the fact that the concussion rate in the U.S. has increased over the last decade. It also could reflect more awareness about concussions, or it could be that the student and or the parent are just simply not willing to put the athlete back into play and risk further exposure. But all these points taken together underscore the importance of developing injury intervention programs so that the athletes don't have to withdraw or be disqualified from their sport forever. As with any study, ours had some limitations, and I want to point out a few. Our data set is restricted to schools with National Athletic Trainer Association affiliated ATs, so that could affect the generalizability of our results. We also did not use a time-based athlete exposure. We used remember that our definition was one athlete exposure is one athlete participating in one practice or competition. So it's not as precise, but it's very feasible for our high school ATs. And then severe injuries are relatively rare, and this can make comparisons very challenging. So where do we go from here? The reasons athletes choose not to continue remain unknown and should be further investigated, as this could be a really interesting subgroup. We don't know why these athletes withdrew, and we don't know what they did after they stopped playing. So there's a wide open door for research in this area. We also don't know why the gender differences exist. So again, further research. So altogether, further monitoring of rates and patterns of injury in high school athletes is very important to reduce injury incidence and severity, so we can keep these athletes from getting hurt, so they can spend more time doing what they love. Thank you for listening. A big thank you to the High School Rio team and for all the athletic trainers who have participated in our study. And at this point, I will take any questions.
Time for one or two questions.
Yes.
So I have a question
related to the concussion. There have been a lot of changes, especially since the public became more aware of the concussion issue in the mid-2000s. There are currently, one of the most recent changes, there are currently a lot of sideline apps that athletic trainers use on their phone. And this could, cause an increase in rate of concussions due to better reporting.
That's what I was wondering. It's like a diagnostic tool,
something like
impact.
It could. Yes?
Well, I think getting to your point, there was recently, I think, a short story on National Public Radio, probably within 6 months, that for the first time, the number of high school students playing football in Texas has gone down. And, you know, it's football in Texas, big thing. And what was really interesting, they were talking about concussion, and the one school they were at, or, you know, that they were discussing in the report, actually, all the athletes undergo pre-sports concussion assessments, computerized, and it tests the reaction time, etc. And then if there's any indication of an injury on the field, baseball, soccer, football, they go back, they test. They are not permitted to go back to any physical activities until their performance level returns to
Yeah, I think ATs over the years especially have been very good about not allowing to let the athlete to return to play, especially the same day?
I think so. We're on a really tight schedule. I'm really excited about all this dialogue that we're going to have. So I'm sure Lauren will be available afterwards to take your questions.
Yeah, this is my contact information.
And comments as well. So thank you so much, Lauren. And
thank you.